You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Some crappy audio at the start, so bear with me on this Thursday. So whichever you prefer, but a very good Thursday morning to you here on a Thursday edition of All Marine Radio. On your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network, broadcasting from a little bit south of the base. My son, normally I'm broadcasting from one of his bedrooms, but they're moving. Yeah, my hotel in Quantico, no moss. So we're in a hotel south of the base. And let me tell you, it's a Hampton Inn in a quiet harbor. I'm telling you, if you come back here, and I'm paying for the room, so you know this is a legit endorsement. It's a nice place, new hotel, and very nicely adorned. So I would recommend it to you, Hampton Inn, right down the Jeff Davis Highway. So anyway, yesterday, it used to be a big deal when All Marine Radio went on the road. Not so much anymore. There are sports fans. Not so much anymore. Happens on a regular basis. Well, there's a wind sock that you put on a microphone that keeps it from puffing like that. So I neglected to do that. So rather than stop the program like a professional would and put it on, you got to hear it live. Yeah. Hey, going expeditionary. Yeah. all the time now. So everything was smooth yesterday. I've done this so much now, I actually have a checklist that I don't want to say I went NADOPS on everybody, but, you have your little board and, on your thigh, and you go down the checklist, and you start the aircraft, and you do everything, but it's close, because there's things I need that I can't forget. And so, every time you do it, you're like, okay, what? And so I thought, you know what? Let me just bomb onto Excel, make myself a little spreadsheet, print that thing out every time, and boom. And so that's what I did. So, yeah, I have a checklist. Make sure everything gets packed. This number of shirts, long sleeve dress. This number of shirts, long sleeve recreation, or short sleeve recreational. Pants, shorts, shoes, PT gear. What else? And then you got to go to the electronic side, right? You got to make sure you bring the keyboard, the mouse, all Bluetooth stuff. Got to make sure you bring the remote control flipper for the computer so you don't have to stand by the podium and advance that. So all that's in the checklist. So everything's perfect. Yesterday morning, go to get in the car, can't find my wallet. Exactly. I'm like, are you kidding me? Now, I'm fortunate in that John Wayne Airport in Orange County is at the most 7 minutes from my house. So I'm looking for my wallet and I can't find it. I'm pretty religious about where I put it. I mean, you've heard me joke about on the program before about if I don't put it in the same place every time, good luck. And that's exactly what happened. And so I'm looking in all the places, and I'm thinking, okay, the last time I had it was, Colleen was driving. Ugh. So we'd gone to get an adapter at a music store for a quarter-inch plug to convert that to an eighth-inch plug so you can hear the wonderful sounds of All Marine Radio while we are in the expeditionary mode. So anyway, we then have to go by the store and get some hamburger for dinner. We do that. Colleen goes in. I stay there. She comes out, hands me my credit card, and then we go home. That's the last I remember. So I know I have it in the car, so I didn't drop it anyplace. Okay. So it means it's at the house. Now I start looking at all the usual places. Not there. Now, then the next question is, okay, did I have a coat? Would I put it in my jacket that I was going to wear yesterday on a plane already? No, not there. Okay, so the only other place it could be is in the car. Now, this is after about 15-minute search, and I'm getting to the point where I'm going to miss my flight. Yeah, then I'm going to have to do that. I don't have enough time. I would have had enough time to get on another flight and get back here, but it just would have been a colossal pain. Anyhow, I think, well, it's the only other place it could be is in the car, because it's nowhere else. And so, this time when I go out, unlike the first time when I went out and did a cursory look at the car, I take my cell phone out of my pocket, I turn on the flashlight, I look underneath the seat I was sitting in, and lo and behold, wallet. Grab that thing. And hop in the car, drive to John Wayne Airport. Now, my plane leaves at 10:03. In theory, I get there at 9:30. But I'm TSA approved, right? So all I got to do is check my bag. So I get in line. And I'm like four people in line. And oh, my God, it's taking forever. Finally, another line starts to my left. And then they start taking them, and I'm gonna miss my flight now. So I yell at the dude, "Hey man, you can't take them." And he looks at me, and I'm not even the first person in line, right? I'm like the second person in line. And I said, "Hey, I'm gonna miss my flight." And like people are like, "Well, you can go in front of us." I'm like, "Well, no, I don't want to cut in front of the line, but I mean, like, what is that line all of a sudden?" So. And, you know, typical airline nonsense, right? They have two clerks waiting on the people that fly in first class, of which there's not even very many of them. And they have one, you know, dealing with everybody else in steerage, right? Me and Leonardo DiCaprio down in the bottom of the Titanic. So anyway, I check my bag, get through TSA, and then the woman who was... The woman who's screening bags through the x-ray machine of the pre-TSA people, it's her first day on the job. She's looking at every pen, every stylus, and I'm standing there going, So my gate is like right next to the TSA checkpoint. So I walk over and I said, "Hey, Inspector Clouseau is like hanging my stuff up. Don't leave without me." And like, and then they say, "We'd never do that." I say, "Thank you." So ultimately, I get on the plane, and then I had a wonderful flight from Orange County to Phoenix. I sat between two women. It's just, you know, I said hi to them, and one was going to Cancun on a sales kind of trip. For her company, and the other one was flying back to D.C., so I didn't know she was flying back to D.C., and one of them says, I get motion sickness. I said, "Oh, hell no." She started laughing. I said, "Don't, hey, you want to ruin just a brand-new friendship? Do something crazy like that, okay? Turn towards the aisle that you're going to yak on this flight." And so she said, "Well, I'm just where I'm going to miss my connection." I said, "Well, what time's your connecting flight?" And she said, 12:15. I said, "Oh, you're going to miss that." And then the other woman says, "Well, do you think I'll miss mine?" I said, "What time's yours?" She said, 12:20. And that was like the time they started boarding. I said, "Oh, you're missing yours too." I said, "But mine's at 12:49. I'll make mine." They're like, "What?" I said, "That's right. Sorry, girls." I said, So I had an enjoyable flight. You know, most of the time you sit there and don't talk. But, no, we had a nice little conversation on the way to Phoenix. And then got in here and did the whole rental car thing. Is there any more misery? The two things I hate about traveling. One, and I'm thinking about starting a service and offering it to the airlines. Okay, you land. Now, we have to wait how many more minutes for everybody to stand up, get into the aisle, right? And everybody who doesn't want to check a bag, right? Especially the little old ladies with these heavy-ass suitcases that are in the overhead who can't handle them, who, like, almost get knock people out as they throw those suitcases around. Okay, and then you sit there, and do you think they could stand up, have somebody help them? Okay, everybody, grab your suitcase, right, be ready, let's get off. No. So here's the idea for my service. It's called Max Gunny Debarkation Service. Okay, so here's what happens, right? The plane pulls up to the ramp. Okay, standing at the gateway, as soon as the door opens, is a gunnery sergeant. Actually, he plugs into it. Before they even open the door, he plugs in from the outside, and he says something like, "All right, everybody, my name's Gunnery Sergeant Umpty Prats. Stand by as we prepare to disembark. I'll give the commands, and you execute." Everybody looks around. And then he says, "Stand up! Everybody, stand up! All right, get your luggage ready. If you're a little old lady, you just tell some guy standing next to you where your suitcase is. Man, get those suitcases out because we're going to get off this plane in about 90 seconds. Stand by." Right, everybody gets their suitcase ready, right? Get them on the floor, right? Everybody grabs their stuff. Move it! And we pile off the plane. And it would happen in about, what? Easily less than 5 minutes. It wouldn't be the 20-minute event that it is now. But, oh, my God, if you're towards the back of the plane, you sit there and watch it, and watch it, and watch it, and watch it, and watch it. Okay, so that's the first thing I hate. Second thing is the rental car line. Oh, my God. It's like people who've never been out of the county limits in Kentucky go rent cars. And it takes forever. I need to become part of some, like, premier club or something where I can just like make the reservation and go to the kiosk, right? That's what I need to do. Cause when you're in steerage, with the rest of the plebeians, right, fighting for bologna sandwiches in the line of the rental car, oh my God, it is just miserable. Chinese students at Reagan Airport last night, trying to rent a car, nobody's 25, to drive to LaGuardia to catch another flight. Guy's like, "Yeah, I don't know what to tell you." And they're like, and they're arguing, oh my God. Somebody else, I don't know what they didn't have. But you're just saying, like, "Please, God, help me, help me, help me. I need your help. I need your help right now." So, finally got here down here last night. But, you know, you get down here on the East Coast on the day you fly, 10:30. Well, for me, it's 7:30 at night. Nobody's going to bed at 7:30 at night and staying asleep. So, anyway, I work till about 1 o'clock. So, if you have not listened to the program that we did yesterday, and that is the program about post-traumatic winning, Spouses React, check that out. Yeah, it's about, it's two segments. One, you'll hear Katie Beasley talking about the whole conception of it. And two, you'll hear Allison and Berta talking about their reaction to seeing post-traumatic winning the first time they saw it and what they hope to achieve by coming on as military spouses and talking about it and what they'd like, why they'd like other spouses to listen to it. And again, what they hope to achieve from it. So, I wrote, in the post that I created, I wrote like a little editor's note, because I am the editor. But, you know, you conceive something like this, right? But, you know, you never, you know, depending on who's coming on and their level of comfort doing it, it may not be, it may or may not be what you want. And so, but because I've done this for a while, right, you're sitting there listening to it and you're like, this is awesome. This is really good. And the conviction with which they speak, both Allison and Berta, and, you know, their intentions and the desire to help other people that are going through similar things were things that you hear coming through in their words. And I sat there and I listened. I was like, this is awesome. 'Cause it's like you conceive something and then the reality is what you conceive. Or maybe, you know, when you're lucky, it's better. So I want to thank them, both of them, for doing that. And I would encourage you to listen to it and share it with anybody who's a spouse who deals with somebody who is deals with trauma and tries to, you know, is uncertain about, well, is it a good thing that I give them space? Is it a bad thing that I give them space? How much space do I give them and how much respect do I show for that? When I see this having such a devastating effect on them and then ultimately on us. So again, my thanks. But stay up late putting that stuff together. Let me tell you what we'll do today on the program. Today's another cool program. Today you'll hear Staff Sergeant J.T. Perry, United States Marine Corps. And he came up to me a couple weeks ago, at the Marine South Expo. In Camp Lejeune, and he introduced himself. He said, I was at your post-traumatic winning thing, and you've had a huge impact on my life. And so that tends to be a conversation starter with me. And so you're going to meet him today, and you're going to hear his story. And he's our post-traumatic winner of the week, and we did this last week. And so with Corporal Josh Gilkey, but you're going to hear them in their own words talking about their life and how their life was impacted by trauma and the impact of that and then the impact of post-traumatic winning. So you're going to hear that. And then after that, you'll hear a Lynch and Kenny event. And this one is, I had to, it's, there's a bunch of it on the editor's floor. Yeah, I had to drop the editor's hammer on those monkeys. And the topic is this whole discussion about discipline in the Marine Corps. And what I asked them to do is, you know, what you'll hear us talk about is broaden the lens and take a look at the discussion as it's gone on in public here for the last few weeks. What are your thoughts about it? So you'll hear what I always like is a liberal arts discussion of those kind of things. So and Tim Lynch and Jeff Kenny, knuckle draggers though they may seem, are really bright, well read guys and are fully capable of doing that. So I think you'll find it interesting. In particular, I mean, I think right off the bat, I'll tease this a little bit, but Jeff makes a comment about criticizing a generation that doesn't do criticism. Think about that. Young people today, they don't get criticized. They only get praised. So when you tell them they're not good enough, when you tell them that they don't measure up, how does that go over? How does that play? So anyway, yeah, don't miss that. So good morning to you. Welcome to a Thursday edition of All Marine Radio from Marine Corps Base. Well, I'm not on the base. From adjacent to Marine Corps Base, Quantico, Virginia. United States Marine Corps Band makes this morning official. So good morning to you. Thank you. dedicated to our post-traumatic winning, in his own words, person of the week, and that is Staff Sergeant J.T. Perry, United States Marine Corps.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain. It's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major, I'm very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
We will check the weather here. This is our custom, and then we'll go ahead and And we'll go ahead and we'll check the weather here. We'll take a break and then we'll check some news headlines. Currently in Quantico, Virginia, where I am, it is cloudy and 67. Although there doesn't look like very many clouds out my window. There's a few. But when I say cloudy, I mean it's cloudy. I would say partly cloudy. Looking for a high of 87 today back here. Yeah. Clouds are 76 degrees at Camp Lejeune, so it's going to be warmer yet down there. In 29 Palms, it is sunny and 56. At Camp Pendleton right now, it is sunny and 47. Okinawa, Japan, it is dark, cloudy, and 71, so cooled off there a little bit. In Ramadi, heating trend started yesterday. It is 96 degrees under partly sunny skies in Ramadi. In Helmand Province, it is 84 degrees. Late in the afternoon, early in the evening there. So, yeah, summer approaches. May, come on, man. Got to go up to the lake cabins for all you people that do things like that. Get them ready. Summer's about to be here. May 2nd. Yeah, go figure. The home of All Marine Radio, it is partly cloudy and 54. Looking for a high of 70 today. 70 on Friday and 69 degrees on Saturday. That is a look at your weather here. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll check some news headlines. China and U.S. policy in the South China Sea is in the news. So don't touch that dial. It's pretty interesting. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on what's going to be a pretty cool Wednesday as we get going here. And again, what you'll hear is you'll hear post-traumatic winner, number two. In his own words, a staff sergeant by the name of J.T. Perry. So you're going to hear him. And then after that, you'll hear a version of the Lynch-Kinney event. And, yeah, one of my problems of moderating that thing is that they're my friends, right? So, yeah, those hammerheads. And so sometimes I don't moderate it very well. Like, you know, most of the time I do okay, but sometimes I get involved in the discussion, and then all of a sudden, then my moderator, like, brain kicks in and says, what are you doing? What did you do? You can't do this. So, yeah, we had some issues, which will never see the light of day. Yeah, trust me. You really wanted to hear that version of it. Yeah, that's why I say Sledge wrote, when he wrote With the Old Breed, it started out as 1,000 pages handwritten that his wife typed. And what eventually became the book is pretty graphic. What do you think 1,000 pages were like? Yeah, well, that's what's on the cutting room floor. That's what's on the cutting room floor, the stuff that shouldn't be in the book. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on this Thursday, the 2nd of May. On your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
J. Just email your resume to jobs@oldmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
Hundreds of thousands of veterans have taken off their uniforms and put them away, carefully packed and safely stowed. But for some veterans, the uniform isn't so easily removed. The emotions experienced while serving continue to weigh on them. Life after service is different. Many veterans find transitioning difficult, and daily life is no longer as enjoyable as it once was. Some feel overwhelmed and lost. But that uncertainty doesn't take away from their strength and courage, nor does it take away from the sense of duty veterans carry with them. The transition from service is different for everyone. If you are a veteran going through a difficult time, or know one who is, the power of one person, one connection, one act of compassion can make a difference. For free 24/7 confidential support, call the Veterans Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1, or visit veteranscrisisline.net.
To be fully fit, you have to be physically fit. You also have to be mentally fit.
I wish that more warriors would realize how important it is that you get the psychological support that you need so that you can focus on the rest of your life.
I think it takes strength in order to admit that you have an issue. But it also takes intuitiveness of a friend, a leader, a supervisor to pick up on the signal that the soldier is having issues and needs to seek professional help in dealing with it.
It's also important for the lowest possible levels of leadership to be very supportive in helping their members get the help that they need.
When I went to get help, I had more help than I could ask for from my entire command.
It's sometimes challenging to come to a senior staff member or senior officer in the unit with a problem. There's not a commanding officer out there or a leadership staff out there that doesn't want to help. So don't hesitate. Come ask.
Learn more by visiting www.realwarriors.net or calling 1-866-966-1020.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Colleen got wire brushed last night. Yeah, she went to school yesterday, didn't even say goodbye to me. Yeah, I went looking for her. Yeah, the only Joe and Jack looking at me like I got four heads on my shoulder. I'm yelling, Colleen! Yeah, what do I get? Nothing. Yeah, so trust me, that got addressed last night. Are you kidding me? Did you lose your mind yesterday? What the hell? Well, you were doing your show, and I'm like, oh, like, so that means we don't say goodbye? Like, really? That's what that means? Yeah. So, then her older sister, right, who now thinks she's got a role in, a greater role in the family than she actually does. Like, she thinks that, like, sisterhood, right, gives her a right. She had to get regulated on, too. Yeah, that woman needed, yeah. Anyway, she likes, that one likes to argue. So, yeah, trust me. So we have to do that event. Anyhow, Colleen, and yeah, Colleen's in a vulnerable place too, because she wants to drive. Yeah, all I have to do is wave that one out there. Oh, I guess you won't be driving anytime soon. Okay. And that's pretty much how the conversation ended. What else was I going to say? No, it's for those of you who don't know, back here in Quantico, going to address the spring version of the commander's course, the capstone commander's course, which is for all the colonels and lieutenant colonels that will go take command in the Marine Corps, sergeant majors and their spouses. So they come to a commander's course, and the commandant was here earlier this week. And so you have all kinds of different people that come down and address the commanders of the, so you're talking about regimental commanders, MU commanders, you're talking about, and their equivalents. So, and then all the battalion commanders come to this. So it's I can't tell you how, what a privilege it is to be here and to be a part of this. So pretty excited to do it. So anyway, so that's what I'm doing back here. And in the course of it, get to see, my oldest, Johnny Boy, as he gets ready to go to Fort Benning with his family and, go to school for a while. And then, my youngest, number two son, Poshik. That's what Colleen used to call him when she was little. Poshik. Where's Poshik? It's Patrick, Colleen. Come on, get with the program. I know, Poshik. Okay, you're not so smart then. So Patrick, living up in, D.C. with his girl Sarah. So I get a chance, hopefully, to go to dinner with everybody tonight. But number one son moving, I'm not sure he's going to be able to attend, that he and his are going to be able to attend dinner because they've got other things going on. So anyway, and then my nephew, Johnny Boy, Johnny Wagstaff out of the basic school. So I called him last night, but I got nothing. Who knows? He may be in the field. So we'll find out. But yeah. So busy 24 hours and then fly back tomorrow. And be home for the weekend. So, yeah. Here in Quantico. So, no, I'm excited. I mentioned this before, but the flying on the, 5 hours gives you a chance to kind of focus on the post-traumatic winning presentation. And it changes a little bit every time. Things I think fit better, maybe sequenced in a better way, a point amplified, a point diminished. I should try to pay attention to time. So excited to be back here and privileged to be invited. Somebody thinks that post-traumatic winning is something that commanding officers ought to see, and I think it is. So anyway, and again, if you can see the power of it, not just in the impact that it has on Marines, and you'll hear that today. You heard it yesterday on spouses, and it's only played limited audiences. So anyway, looking for ways to distribute it on a wider basis. So stand by for that. And to that, let me just say this to that end. Shortly, I'll stand up the nonprofit portion of All Marine Radio and then try to put together a tour of college campuses because the message is a message for everybody. And then the other kind of, so we'll do that and then continue to make inroads into, I believe, well, for me, the sweet spot, which is the Department of Defense and, people that are part of my tribe that that have done the same things that I raised my right hand and swore to do. And so certainly first and foremost in my mind. But then after that, it's, first responders, police officers and firefighters, police officers in particular, because they keep going out and doing it every day. And so, as the business side of this stands up and develops, you will only see more and more and more and more of it. And let me tell you another exciting thing, that happened to me yesterday in the course of my day. Somebody who I'd spoken to a few weeks ago who wanted me to speak to a family member texted me and said, hey, they're ready to talk. And are you available to do something this weekend in Southern California? I said, absolutely. So that's exciting. Somebody else emailed me and said, hey, I've got a friend. This is a staff NCO, a staff sergeant from Camp Lejeune. And he said, I've got a friend in Iowa who's struggling, and I've been talking to him, and you know, could you help me talk to him? I said, sure, man, I'd be happy to. And then he emailed me back later, and he said, they said they're not ready to yet. I said, okay, so here's the deal. Just be patient. Okay? People tend to come to this slowly. So you're seed planting. So just be patient. And I'm telling you that in probably the not too distant future, you're going to get another phone call or you'll have another conversation and they'll say, yeah, I'd love to. So that, and then I'll meet and have lunch today with yet another person that contacted me a few weeks ago and said, hey, I'm trying to help this guy's an officer. I'm trying to help one of my staff NCOs who's struggling. Can we have lunch? I said, absolutely. So today I'll have lunch. Yeah, how about that? Oh, Mac, getting around, doing it. So pretty cool, pretty cool. And again, the coolest part, though, is everybody who's listening to this, just go and listen to the interviews, right? Download the 3 goals. And the 8 commandments of post-traumatic winning, and just share it. This is our knowledge from our culture, and it's nothing but the truth, the things we know. So I wrote something. Hold on, let me see if I can find it. I changed kind of the way that I articulate something, and I'm mindful. I try not to be disrespectful to anybody, and I wrote this yesterday on the plane. Of these moments of clarity on plans. What we understand, right, and what I've come to understand is that we cannot medicate ourselves to good, though we may need to medicate ourselves. We can't talk a traumatic event to good. We can certainly discover truth by talking, okay? There's only one path that leads to good after trauma arrives in your life. And we'll go there today. I say this at the start, so that's kind of a tease. Okay? The entire journey begins with the truth. These are the truths I've learned in my life, in my career as a Marine, and in interviewing Marines and sailors and soldiers here on All Marine Radio for almost 3 years. And all of it starts with our unique culture. And then that transitions me into the numerical breakdown I do with, I think I've done it here on the program. You know, you hear that we're part of less than 1%, right? Well, 1%, I mean, I don't know what made me look at this one day, but I'm like, well, you know, we're an awful lot less than 1%. You know, so I look at the population, 325 million people, according to the number that I saw. So 1% of that is 3.25 million. Well, hell, the Marine, active duty Marine Corps is 220,000. What percent is that? Okay, so I did the math on a calculator, but I couldn't understand the number, right? It was one of those like coefficient blah 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 things, and so I had to do it in a spreadsheet, right? And then make the grid really big so I could read the number and then turn it into a percentage, which I then could understand. 0.7% of 1/10 of 1%. Okay, so written 0.07. That's how it's written. As a percentage, 0.7% of 1/10 of 1%. Statistically, you're a part of something that's zero. That's how unique the culture is. So anyway, I have these moments on airplanes. So anyway, I thought I'd share that with you. Maybe we should get to the news. In the news, first of all, Stars and Stripes headlines, top of the fold headline, which means it's slow news day. Senior Air Force NCOs in test program can become officers in 2 weeks. The Air Force is going to try compressing the normal 40-day officer training school course to 14 days. 40 days? They don't go through like officer candidate school? Guess not. Air Force. as always, doing it easier. Next story. Artillery booms from Army landing craft for the first time in decades. Artillery rounds blasted from howitzers aboard Army landing craft during a recent training mission. The first time in decades the boats from the service's little-known fleet of watercraft have conducted live fire training. So, the Army interested in amphibious operations? Well, that's kind of interesting, isn't it? Virginia National Guard soldiers assigned to the Norfolk Base, 1st Battalion, 111th Field Artillery Regiment, 116th Infantry Brigade Combat Team conducted waterborne artillery live fire exercises during Operation Gator, April 24th and 25th at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina. Damn it, they're using our bases. The shoot was believed to mark the first riverine artillery mission since the Vietnam War and comes as the Army has been mulling plans to shutter its National Guard and Reserve component watercraft units. The troops were training for the possibility that America's next fight may be against what the military calls a near-peer advisory. In such a conflict, the U.S. may not be free to move its forces around as easily as in Iraq and Afghanistan. There you have it. Hello, China. Whoops, sorry about that. Next story, sad story. Former Delta Force commander dies in a lawnmower accident at his Alabama home. Retired Major General Eldon Bargwell, 72, former commander of the elite Delta Force unit, died Monday after his lawnmower rolled over an embankment behind his house in Eufaula, Alabama. So, wow. How about that? All the stuff that guy's done as a commander of Delta Force in his life. And lose your life in a lawnmower accident. According to his military biography, Bargwell enlisted in the military in 1967, served in Vietnam, where he earned the Distinguished Service Cross for extraordinary heroism. According to the award citation, Bargwell placed a deadly volume of machine gun fire on the enemy during an attack, despite being wounded himself. He later refused medical treatment in order to defend the area and allow the safe extraction of his team. He was a staff sergeant at the time. He conducted more than 25 reconnaissance, direct action, and team recovery missions into Laos and North Vietnam. He received an officer's commission in 1973, went on to serve as a unit commander for Delta Force, where he participated in the invasion of Panama. Later, during Operation Desert Storm, he went on to lead U.S. Special Forces Command, serving as the Director of Strategic Operations at Multinational Force Iraq, and the Commanding General Special Operations Command, Europe. His decorations include 3 Bronze Stars with Combat Vs for Valor, the Purple Heart, the Army Commendation Medal with Combat V, and a Presidential Unit Citation. So a sad day, certainly for his family. So obviously thoughts and prayers go out to them. In terms of Marine Corps headlines, Navy audit says Marine Corps non-compliance with health surveys could hinder early detection of PTSD. The Marine Corps has largely failed to comply with their 90 to 188-day deadline to complete and certify post-deployment health assessments surveys called the PDHRA. Specifically, the audit showed the rate at which the Corps failed to comply with the requirement is to complete and certify post-deployment health assessments in the mandated time frame increased from 46% in fiscal year 2008 to 64% in 2016. The stupid part about that is there's probably about 10 times more people going in 2008 than there was in 2016. So anyhow, so that's not a good thing. Interesting story about Theresa May, the Prime Minister of the UK, fired her defense chief for evidently leaking the fact that China, that the UK was going to use Wu Wei to provide their 5G infrastructure in spite of warnings that Wu Wei's infrastructure is riddled with holes that Chinese intelligence operatives can use to hack into the system. So, anyway, he's been accused of that. He's denied it. But pretty interesting little event going on in the UK. Theresa May, congratulations. Next story, Australian troops ordered to avoid using slang with U.S. Marines. Yeah, so what kind of slang? So here's what it says. Imagine an American asking an Aussie soldier if they can see the enemy approaching, and they respond, the Aussie responds with the classic local phrase of, nah, yeah, N-A-H-Y-E-A-H. The Yank would have no clue if that meant yes or no, which is understandable for someone who doesn't get our slang. So there you have it. The Australians. How about yes or no? The other story is Quantico's commanding officer of Headquarters and Service Battalion was relieved. And somebody who I met doing post-traumatic winning, Colonel John Atkinson, was relieved after he was arrested for drunk driving charges in mid-April. So sad story, but that in the news as well today. So wish him all the best. Two former Army Green Berets were sentenced yesterday. They pled guilty to drug trafficking late last year, will spend 9 years each in federal prison. Former Master Sergeant Daniel Gould, 36, and former Sergeant First Class Henry Royer, 35, faced two counts of conspiracy to traffic cocaine. A third conspirator, Columbia National Gustavo Parea, is awaiting extradition to Florida for trial. 40 kilograms of cocaine. They tried to get onto a military transport flight in Colombia with the final destination of the Northern District of Colombia. Suspicion was aroused at the U.S. Embassy in Colombia when the packages were x-rayed, revealing cocaine within gutted-out punching bags. Gould had previously smuggled 10 kilos of cocaine from Cali to Eglin Air Force Base in Florida, where he was assigned to the 7th Special Forces Group using the same plan. So, there you have it. Pretty pathetic. VA DOD electronic health records, which has been a big issue over the years, are still not compatible, and lawmakers are not happy. Acting Defense Secretary Patrick Shanahan was grilled by lawmakers yesterday on the lengthy and costly effort to develop compatible electronic record systems between the DOD and the Department of Veteran Affairs. Quote, I don't ever recall being as outraged about an issue than I am about the electronic health record program, Representative Kay Granger, Republican of Texas, told Shanahan at the House Defense Appropriations Subcommittee hearing on the DOD's proposed fiscal year 2020 budget. Quote, I can't believe that these program managers think that it's acceptable to wait another 4 years for a program to be implemented when we've spent billions of dollars and worked on it for over a decade, Granger said. For 10 years, we've heard the same assurances that the electronic health record problem will be solved, said Representative Hal Rogers, another Republican from Kentucky, said, it's incredible that we can't get this fixed. Veterans are suffering because of this bureaucratic crap, he said. Whoa. So, I dropped the C word right in the middle of a hearing. Another interesting headline out of a website called The Hill. Ankara's Ankara, however you say it, realigned with Russia will cost Turkey more than it thinks. My own opinion, there's a reason for that alignment, and that is Erdogan is himself a dictator. And so when you're a dictator, you should stay in the company of dictators because that's that will make it comfortable. It will ultimately yield to, in my opinion, a civil war in Turkey. So write that down. Final headline today, South China Sea, U.S. unveils new strategy to hit back at Beijing's island militarization. The U.S. will unveil a new Indo-Pacific strategy this month to ramp up efforts against China's attempt to militarize the South China Sea. So, interestingly about this is you heard a series of appearances last year at the Shangri-La Dialogue. Admiral Richardson, right, a couple months ago, I think in January, told his Chinese counterpart, Vice Admiral Shen Jinglong, unnamed vessels with Chinese sailors on it will be treated the same as the Chinese Navy, because reportedly they are being used as little green men to advance Beijing's military ambitions. Assistant Secretary of Defense, Randall Shriver talked about the 2018 National Defense Strategy, right? And the evolving posture of America in the Western Pacific. As part of the new strategy announcement, Mr. Shriver said, quote, "Our national defense strategy and national security strategy identify the Indo-Pacific as the priority theater, and I think Secretary Shanahan will talk about that at Shangri-La and what it means to be a priority theater. And over time, you will see that show up in our resources and presence, though I'm not in a position to talk about specifics about that." Since 2017, the United States Navy has ramped up freedom of navigation operations, staying regularly within 12 nautical miles of China's claimed islands and reefs. So, anyway, interesting stuff. So, stand by for more in the Western Pacific. And then, from the Asia Times, interesting little story. And I follow it. Or at least when I'm looking for things that China does, I follow it. Headline in today's edition, Beijing's Maritime Militia, the Scourge of the South China Sea. Subheadline, China uses hundreds of fishing trawlers manned by military-trained sailors and modified for ramming and spying to seize island. So what the Chinese have done, they've reinforced the bows of these ships, right? They have electronic surveillance equipment there. And I'm sure that they have guns on them. You tend not to see them anymore. This story is written by a guy named Jonathan Manthorpe. The shock troops of Beijing's maritime empire building are far more humble than the fleet of modern warships that paraded off Qingdao on Tuesday to mark the 70th anniversary of the founding of the Chinese People's Liberation Army and Navy. Even as President Xi Jinping was reviewing a sail past of his new generation of guided missile destroyers and other modern warships, his equally potent small boat navy was at work off the Philippines. As I will describe, the fact that views of Xi's navy are obscured by thick fog has more than symbolically, and it's entirely appropriate. For 2 years, scores and sometimes hundreds of Chinese fishing ships have been harassing, swarming, and spying on Filipino construction crews, upgrading infrastructure on the islands of Taitu, known as Pasaga in the Philippines. This is the second largest naturally occurring island in the Spratly Archipelago, and is home to about 100 Filipinos and a small military detachment. The Thai-2 confrontation is part of a much larger long-range and long-running dispute between Beijing and Manila over ownership of islands and the islets in the Spratly Group and other South China Sea features such as the Scarborough Shoals and Mischief Reef. So, again, how the Chinese do it. And it is, you know, again, aircraft carriers are powerful things, but what happens if they never get into the fight? Because your little green men have taken care of all of it. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, you're going to hear from Marine Staff Sergeant J.T. Perry. We're going to do Post-Traumatic Winning, Post-Traumatic Winners, In Their Own Words, Volume 2. That's coming up next. Don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next, right here on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when the grunt can understand it. Good job, Matt.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
Hundreds of thousands of veterans have taken off their uniforms and put them away, carefully packed and safely stowed. But for some veterans, the uniform isn't so easily removed. The emotions experienced while serving continue to weigh on them. Life after service is different. Many veterans find transitioning difficult, and daily life is no longer as enjoyable as it once was. Some feel overwhelmed and lost. But that uncertainty doesn't take away from their strength and courage, nor does it take away from the sense of duty veterans carry with them. The transition from service is different for everyone. If you are a veteran going through a difficult time, or know one who is, the power of one person, one connection, one act of compassion can make a difference. For free 24/7 confidential support, call the Veterans Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Or visit veteranscrisisline.net.
To be fully fit, you have to be physically fit. You also have to be mentally fit.
I wish that more warriors would realize how important it is that you get the psychological support that you need so that you can focus on the rest of your life.
I think it takes strength in order to admit that you have an issue. But it also takes intuitiveness of a friend, a leader, a supervisor to pick up on the signal that the soldier is having issues and needs to seek professional help in dealing with it.
It's also important for the lowest possible levels of leadership to be very supportive in helping their members get the help that they need.
When I went to get help, I had more help than I could ask for from my entire command.
It's sometimes challenging to come to a senior staff member or senior officer in the unit with a problem. There's not a commanding officer out there or a leadership staff out there that doesn't want to help. So don't hesitate. Come ask.
Learn more by visiting www.realwarriors.net or calling 1-866-966-1020.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.